How about we pray, and then we'll seek God in regards to his word for this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you that you left heaven's glory for us. We thank you for our Saviour who did so much for us. Yet, Lord, I'm sure each one of us would admit we do so little for you. And, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you don't treat us the way that we treat you. But, Lord, your love is ever-present, regardless of ourselves and what we deserve. And Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and seek your face at any time of the day or night. Thank you that we can open your word this morning. We pray that you would minister to our hearts and souls. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Sunday we looked at the 7 years of tribulation in our series of things to come. And we saw some of the things that will take place at that time. And as a Christian, you can praise God that you don't have to go through that because we are not appointed to wrath. But as we saw prior to the 7 years of tribulation, the Lord Jesus is going to come, meet us in the air, the trumpet will blow, and those dead in Christ will rise first, and then us, hopefully, who are alive, will go up, and we'll be meeting him in the air. Question is, while the tribulation's taken place, what do we do during those 7 years? Is there anything for us to look forward to? Well, God doesn't give us a systematic timetable of what will take place during those 7 years. So I don't think anyone can be too dogmatic about when things will take place. But we are told that certain things will happen prior to us coming with the Lord Jesus to reign with him upon the earth during that 1,000 years or the millennium. And so I'm going to look at these things this week, and then I've got Easter next Sunday, so we won't look at it then, but the following week we'll look at what I believe will be taking place in that 7 years in the order that I think they will happen. But you can disagree with me. I'm not too fussed either way. But let's have a look. First thing I believe is that will happen is we will be given new bodies. I'll quote a verse to you first in 1 John. It says in chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And here the Apostle John is explaining that for believers, we are the children of God. But the reality is, we don't look any different. We don't transform in any particular way that people could say, "Wow, that's a child of God. They look like a child of God." No, we look the same. But he does say, one day we won't. One day we're going to be changed. And that will take place when he appears and we see him. And that's when we will look like the children of God. There is a similar passage that talks about this time when we receive our new bodies and what it will be like and how we're going to be changed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'd like you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I can sort of explain what it says here, but let's not kid ourselves. God's word puts it far better than any man can. And so I think it's just worth reading what we are told about what will take place in the resurrection. This is an amazing stuff when you truly believe it. It should get you excited. It says there in verse 35, "But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? All flesh," verse 39, "all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds." And if you've eaten all those, apart from the human flesh, but you will know that there is difference in flesh. All right? So there's all different types of bodies. That's what he's trying to explain here. And then he talks about the heavenly bodies. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Let me stop there. If you have had anything to do with people dying, and I have had a little bit to do with that, you would understand that when someone nears death and is at that brink of death, the body doesn't look glorious at all. And it's weak and it's dishonorable. It is all of these things that it's talking about. But he says, even though that's how we are when we die, when we are raised, it's a completely different story. It is glorious, it is powerful, and so on. And then he says in verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So these are the two bodies that a believer will get to enjoy. You're enjoying at the moment the natural body. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And so there's a body that is designed to live upon earth, and we've got it at the moment. And there is a body that will be designed to live with God in heaven and the heavenlies. And then he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed, it says. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, you hear of people talking about wanting to live for a long time, that desire for immortality, and often it's portrayed in movies as something that would be wonderful, but it's not reality. Yet we have here in the Word of God made very clear that we're going to be changed. And as the Lord comes, those are in the grave, as it says there, they'll be raised up and changed. Us who are alive at that time will be taken up and changed in an instant, and we will be given a body, a spiritual body, designed to live and to be able to worship God in heaven or wherever He deems. We have an earthly body. There is coming a spiritual body. As John said, one like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn in the gospel that Jesus could still eat. People could still touch Him. He said, touch me, don't I have flesh and bone? And so it is a bizarre spiritual body that I can't completely understand or explain, but we know that it doesn't have the same limitations to what we have at this time. He could speak the word and go where he wanted to. I suspect that will be the same for us as well, but it will be a body that doesn't get sick, it doesn't get sore, it doesn't age, but it is made to be able to withstand being in the presence of God. Now that's something. At the moment, we can't be in the presence of God and live. Yet we will have a body, a new body. And so we could just leave it there, and that's enough for today, really. If we could just grasp the excitement of a new body that will be coming. And I believe that's the first thing, so that everything else that takes place in heaven, we can withstand and enjoy. And so the first thing is, I believe, a new body, a spiritual body. The next thing I believe on the calendar is judgment. We're told that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we need to realize that that's not just for the unsaved. There is a judgment for the believer as well. Turn over to Romans chapter 14, would you please? In Romans chapter 14, Paul is talking to the believers. He's dealing with certain things. And he says there in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." That's what we're told in God's word. Paul tells the believers at Rome, why are you judging one another? That is not up for us to judge one another. That is something that Jesus Christ is going to do. Each one of us has to stand before his throne and give an account and be judged by him. And he talks about that as a future event. Now he says a similar thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, we read, Paul says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." That's Jesus. But it's the next verse that really matters. Verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body." Get that? "According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." You see, Paul knew that he had to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and he knew that he would have to receive the things that he has done in his body. And so because of that, because he understood that there is a judgment day where rewards will be given, he labored so he may obtain. Now, the most important thing to take note of here is it does say whether it be good or bad. Get that? Whether what we've done in our body is good or bad. And so Jesus is going to determine if what we do in our body and in our life was good or bad. Now, does that mean that there is the possibility of when he determines that there are things that are bad, that there is judgment or punishment? Well, we can be very sure that there's no punishment on this day. It is only a day of rewards, because Jesus has already paid the punishment. There is no punishment of our sin because Jesus bore it all. That's good news for us. But there still is this issue of good or bad that we need to consider. You see, the doctrine of soul liberty and how we are priests before God means that we shouldn't judge one another, because one day God is going to judge us. But there is going to be a day when we have to present our actions with our soul liberty, and God's going to tell us, or Jesus is going to tell us, hey, that was bad. Very bad decision. or that was a good decision. And we will be rewarded, or we will lose that reward. You know, let's take a hotly contested topic of rock music, for example. Some believers say it's fine to use rock music to spread the gospel. It's fine to use rock music to worship God with. It's fine to listen to it in their own private time as well. While there are some who say that rock music is wrong in any form at any time. Right? So that's a debate that goes on today. Some say it's good and some say it's bad. Now, when we get to heaven, is this topic completely forgotten? God says, we're in heaven. It doesn't really matter now. We're all here. Let's just let all that be bygones and let's just get on with other things. Is it completely forgotten and we don't even have to worry? And so it didn't really matter what we did and what we chose based on God's word with our soul liberty. Well, we're told here that we're going to have to give an account and we will be judged and receive things done in our body according to that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. You see, this idea of soul liberty isn't that we just decide on our own if something's good or bad. The idea of soul liberty is we go to the Word of God and determine what God says is good or bad, and we make a decision based on that. Now, understandably, we go to the Word of God and some people come to a completely different conclusion to others. That is true. But this will be the day when God tells us if the decision that we came to was good or bad, and He will judge us accordingly. And so those who use rock music, they will find out from God if it was worthwhile, if it was pleasing to Him, if He accepted that. And if it is, they will be rewarded accordingly. But on the other hand, if it isn't, they will lose reward. And they won't have any reward because of it. And that's why Paul says in Romans 14, don't judge each other. If someone is wrong, well, then they will be discovering that on Judgment Day. And if someone is right, they'll be discovering that on Judgment Day. And you know, this applies to every area of our life. On Judgment Day, we're going to discover if the decisions that we made for our family was good or bad. The decisions that we made to how we act and how we live as a family, where we live, and all these things will be determined if it was good or bad. The way we treated people, the way we used our gifts, the way we responded in circumstances, the way we served the Lord. We are going to be told if it's good or bad and be rewarded accordingly. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. And so that day, all our works will be revealed. And it says, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And this is the key. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. From this I get the idea and the picture that on Judgment Day, when we as individuals stand and give an account to God, all of our works are laid there. All of our decisions. And He is going to determine through the fire of His judgment those things that are good and bad. And whatever's left, He will reward us on those things. Those things that are wood, hay, and stubble are just disappeared. And what that means is, You know, those Christian rockers will find out at that time if using rock music to do God's work, to spread the gospel, to worship Him, to listen in private, was good or bad in His sight. Now, if it was good, they're going to be rewarded for their work and their service and their worship and so on. But if it's bad in the sight of God, it's all burnt up. You know, even if God is able to use what they did to bring someone to Christ, that doesn't mean they themselves will get a reward for how they went about it. Now, can you imagine being in heaven and you've spent your entire life using rock music to serve the Lord, to worship the Lord, and to bring people to the Lord, and you have all your works burnt up that day, and you get nothing, and there's no reward. And you know, that's why I refuse to use rock music to spread the gospel, to try and get people in. I refuse to use it to worship the Lord, because for me, on the basis of God's word, I believe it is sensual. It is using something that is devilish in the sight of God, and He does not enjoy it, and it's not pleasing in His sight. So I don't plan to use it for His service and my worship and then get to heaven and have all that burnt up and be left with nothing. Now, if someone else wants to go and do it, they are the ones that discover on Judgment Day if I'm right or not. And you know, that's basically what we're going to have to, each as an individual, work out for our life and then go through on Judgment Day. You know, there are going to be many people, many Christians, who spent their life for themselves. They spent their time working so they can get lots of money, spent their time on hobbies, spent their time in sport. And when it comes to the work of the Lord and the local church, well, if we can squeeze a bit of time in, I might do something if it fits with me. But predominantly, their life will be for self. And on Judgment Day, they're going to discover if their life was full of worthless things or not. And they might find that most of their works and their busyness in life is just burnt up and there's nothing left. And there is a lack of reward. Well, there are going to be many Christians, I dare say, who may not have been very smart, may not have been very rich, may not have been very sporty, may not have been very talented, yet they invested their time in sharing the gospel, in ministering in the local church in any way they possibly can, serving the Lord in various ways, giving their money to support eternal things. And then on Judgment Day, they might be very surprised at how much is left when that fire of judgment goes through their works. And even though they didn't think they were very special in the sight of man, they did a lot of worthwhile things in the sight of God. Things that He considered as gold, silver, and precious stone. And you know, Jesus said this is the attitude we need to be having. He said in Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. There are eternal treasures. And Jesus said, oh, you shouldn't be thinking about treasures in heaven. That's just being greedy. No, He says, think of those things and be laying up treasure in heaven in this regard. I can tell you, I was around 19 years old when it just clicked with me and I decided I want to stop living for self and worrying about me, and I want to start living for Christ. Because I want to have treasure in heaven. I want my life to count so when I meet God on Judgment Day, I'm not left with nothing. And I tell you, come 32 years later, that still drives me. I get sad, I get tired, I get frustrated, I wonder why I'm serving the Lord at times, but there's one reason why I keep doing it, and that is I know there's a judgment day and I don't want to be left with anything. And I want to serve God and build up riches in heaven in that regard. Besides that, I know that I have to give an account for what I've done. And to me, that really scares me. It should scare you. There is a godly fear that should scare you, to prompt you to make sure you do things that are for eternity. It's very important for each one of us to stop and consider the life that we've been given. And each day that God blesses us with, and ask ourselves, how are we using it? Can I encourage you to sincerely consider how you use that simple thing of your time and your life that is a gift from God, the money that God's given you, the gifts and the talents and how you use them in various ways, the reason why you do it. It's not just the actual actions, but it's the motives behind it as well. These are all be laid bare in the sight of God one day. And I believe that'll be a day when we're told if the decisions that we made on earth were good or bad. If you're a husband, I don't know if he goes through every moment or if it's just like a complete package overall, but you're going to find out if you were a good or bad husband and father and leader of your family. Wife, you're going to find out if you submitted to your husband and followed him, if the way you acted in that way was good or bad. Parents, how you brought up your children was good or bad. How you treated each one here was good or bad. It's pretty black and white, isn't it? It's good or bad in God's sight. How we responded, how we served Him in the time that He gave you and the gifts that He gave you, how you used that, was it for eternal things or for just earthly things? Was it good or bad? And so, this day is not an issue of do I get punished, but it's a matter of what sort of rewards do I get? Now here in 1 Corinthians 3, we're not told what sort of rewards we get. But when you look at the scripture, it does talk about how there are certain crowns and you can look them up for various things. So there must be some sort of crown, which is not a crown like a diadem, like a king, but it's a Stephanos crown, which is given as a wreath, a bit like a gold medal today with the athletes. But there is a crown for certain things. There seems to be, maybe it correlates with this, but greater responsibility in the millennium as we serve with God. As He talks about, you've been faithful in a few things, I'll give you in charge of many things. And so there is that giving out of responsibilities. Also, as Jesus simply said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And so there's a bit of a mystery there as well. There is treasure, whatever it is. You can call me greedy, selfish, whatever, but I'm sort of like this. If God's giving out treasures, I'm pretty keen for it. All right, I've always been like that. You know, I'm sure you're like that as a child. If there's someone giving out lollies, I'm up for it. You know, I noticed that at the picnic yesterday. Lolly man, everyone wants lolly man. Not that they like him, but they like the lollies. All right, everyone's getting in on it, even the adults. If there's lollies, I want some. I want as many as I can get. Well, when it's God giving out lollies, I want as much as I can get. Good thing is, He tells us, I want you to try and get as much as you can get. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And so we should live, act, make decisions, considering that one day we're going to give an account to God. He's going to determine if it's good or bad, and we're rewarded for it. Our motives will be judged. Our words we spoke to one another will be judged. The standards that we had in life will be judged. Our service will be judged. Our parenting will be judged. The use of our gifts, the use of our money, how we responded to God's word will be judged. And you know, this is the thing. When you're standing in a crowd of 1,000 or even 100, even 10, and the crowd, the group is being judged, it's sort of not that bad. You can sort of think, oh, that's probably, he's talking about them there, you know, that's not me. But it says each person, there's no one else. It's just Christ and you. No one else. You can't say, oh, that was my mother's fault, or that's my brother's fault, or someone else's fault, pastor's fault. It's just you. And if what you did was good or if it was bad, and you judged accordingly. That should prompt us to assess our life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you've warned us of this day. It should be a day of rejoicing, and I'm sure for many it will be. For others, maybe some rejoicing. Maybe there's some sadness there as well. Yet, Lord, you've given us breath today. And, Lord, we have a life to live today. We don't know about tomorrow. Lord, I pray that what we do today will be good in your sight. And then tomorrow will be the same. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.